you don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to this episode of the Weekly Zeitgeist. These are some of our favorite segments from this week, all edited together into one nonstop infotainment laugh extravaganza. So without further ado, here is the Weekly Zeitgeist.
Miles!
Yeah.
It's appropriate that we have a little special AKA song today. Yeah. Because we are joined in our third and fourth seats by two of the hosts of the podcast, Jort Center. Mm-hmm. It's them Jort Center boys.
Mm-hmm, them Jort Center boys.
Up first, we've got America's stepdad, Christy Yamaguchi Man, a.k.a. Will Poole, and we got Josh Robbins. They are them Jort Center boys. Mm-hmm. Welcome, fellas, to Dirt Daily Zeitgeist.
And I'm thrown off because I think there's an a.k.a., but let's give it up for Will and Josh!
Josh, I'm going to take this opening one, okay?
All right, you got it.
All right, thanks, folks. Thanks for having us on again. We're going to go back to 1977.
On a podcast with Miles Gray.
Ooh.
Thick thighs with no hair.
Ooh.
Warm piss and gorditas. Rise up from Jack O'Brien's chair. Up ahead for the listeners.
Wow.
The future's not looking bright. News is heavy and the topic's grim. Time for Daily Zeitgeist.
Woo!
Before we find out some more ways, we're all going to hell. I was thinking to myself, I could really use some Taco Bell. So I lit up a fab one and said, first let's get blazed. Then I heard the voices from my phone. It was Jack and Miles Gray.
Woo!
Hello, the internet, we got bad news for you. The United States, the United States is in a shitty place.
Wow.
Before it's too late and we die, we're here to warn you. It's election year, it's election year. You should hate it here. Trump's mind is Tiffany twisted.
Another verse.
I'm just kidding. Oh. What if I made us sit through the entirety of the
I really was, dude. I was like, you hit me into the fucking solo
now. The devil
now
starts coming into play. Wow. hours. Woo! Hello, the internet. We've got bad news.
Yeah,
is great. Boy, you know, news might as well be the subtitle of the show.
Yeah,
yeah, and not to outshine the other guest that I'm on here with, but I know he just had PTSD from high school of me breaking up the acoustic guitar.
So once again, I planned something, but he will outshine me about whatever.
Josh, let me take this real quick.
Josh, here we go. This is all you. Three.
Okay,
four.
Let's see. All right, a.k.a. Josh Robbins, and we got Every Kiss Begins with K. Ooh. Jewelry's on the way, my wife. Please don't leave me. Never, ever leave me. I'll get you Chick-fil-A if you promise me you'll stay. Promise rings, not fake gold. Waffle fries, not a day old. That's what I got. That's from the viewpoint of someone who went to CPAC.
Fantastic.
Wow.
Fantastic. Oh, man.
So, I love it. Yeah.
There we are. That.
Beautiful work. There was some Yardling in there.
Yeah, I'm actually impressed. I didn't need a guitar.
Yeah,
I didn't need a clutch.
Like,
right,
so.
I saw that. I noticed that. You just went straight voice.
Yeah,
right
yeah.
I'm not like a prop acapella. Guy. Acapella. I'm not a prop guy. So, you know, but I respect like, you know, prop comedians like Carrot Top and stuff. But
yeah, for sure. Matt Gallagher, I think, really.
Also, apologies to whoever has to edit this episode and level all of that bullshit that I just did, because I have no idea. The WAV file, like it looked okay. but I have no fucking idea whether any of that's going to be usable.
Hey, one eye on the lyrics and one eye on the WAV file. Is that
exactly. Yeah.
It was very.
Oh, that's what's
very considerate.
Okay.
Very
considerate. I thought you're just confused. Anyway, how are what? So what? Are you both coming to us from North CAC?
Yeah,
that's right. I'm down at the beach. Josh's former hometown of Wilmington.
Okay.
As always, and then Josh. Yeah.
I live in Charlotte, North Carolina. I've lived here for probably so long, I'll just say I'm from here. But, you know, my heart is in Wilmington. But yeah.
Monkey Junction.
Yeah. That's where we grew up, near Totem and Zoo, which is probably called something else that's not as inappropriate now.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I moved away.
Yeah.
So, here we are.
It's good to have you both. You know, we've had, you know, Will over here, Christy Yamaguchi, Gucci Mane, many times, and obviously you've been a lifelong contributor to the show. So it's dope to have you both on, and you're both podcasting. It's just dope to kind of see how, you know, just, and then like you guys have been best friends since we said sixth grade.
Sixth grade. Josh was one of my groomsmen in my wedding, and I was in his wedding as well. So, we've been the first time I remember Josh was like, I knew Josh since sixth grade, but the first time you have those moments where your like brain comes online, you're like, that's your first like true memory of something or someone is when Josh got in a fight in the cafeteria. And one of the counselors, like Superman, tackled him and the other kid. Like Mr. Taylor was his name.
Taylor.
He was like a good like 6'3", 6'4". And he just comes out of like my periphery and tackles both of them. I think it was over like throwing French fries at each other. And French fries and milk.
With James
in the cafeteria.
Spader.
And I was like, holy shit, that dude is awesome. He just got tackled by Mr. Taylor. That
which is funny because it's funny that it took that long for Will to remember me because we sat at the same table for like the whole year.
Is that what you were doing? You were like getting into a fight to get him to notice you?
Yes.
So
I was playing guitar the whole time.
Yeah.
It's been a long time to get
off
on
in the
KDC.
Corner singing softly with an acoustic guitar to like just a cloud of girls.
We'll go with that. We'll totally say that's my middle school and high school experience.
Yeah.
Sure.
Not the creepy geometry teacher who's like, let me go get my guitar, man.
Or the weird substitute.
Well, Mr. Beveridge.
The youth pastor comes in. Right. Actually, I got a song about a guy named JC who was pretty all right.
Yeah, we had a substitute. His name was Mr. Beveridge. And every time he started a class, he would go, all right, my initial spell tab, it's Mr. Beveridge. Get the jokes out. And like, we were like, okay.
All right. Cool. And then he's like, now let's crack this one open and get into...
He juggled
Brave
and did
heart.
Like a unicycle and shit too.
He did.
You got to.
He knew what.
Mr.
I think
Beveridge.
Everyone knows a juggling unicyclist teacher at some point in their life.
I think
don't
so.
They?
I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, Will, author of many of the best AKAs of all time, the voice of an angel, as you heard. I mean, as you may have just heard, there is a chance that he actually was so close to the real song that it will get a takedown notice for the first time from an AKA. But
that'd be amazing. And apparently, the Eagles are very litigious. I just found out that they're in a lawsuit right now over some handwritten notes to Hotel California. I just learned about that yesterday.
They got some skeletons. They got some things to be litigious over. Let's just say
They got some. I can imagine.
Yeah, you might not want to look into their history. And then Josh is in a band called Late Bloomer. It's dropping an album on Friday.
This Friday. Just
the musicality of this episode is
out of every pore. It's happening.
That's right. Mm-hmm. What is something from your search history that is revealing about who you guys are?
I have an exciting one. I can start. Hey, this is Alex. Right. Yeah, so I'm building a chicken coop because my second job, or rather more one of my third jobs, is kind of being a little suburban farmer. And so I'm getting some chicks delivered from a hatchery, and they said, you need to put this directly into the brooder. And I'm like, what's a brooder? And I had looked up what a brooder is and then came up and found that it can be anything from a Rubbermaid tub where you put the chickens while they're very small until like a repurposed rabbit hut. So then I started thinking all morning about how to build the chicken brooder. That's my search history.
And wait, just so it's just like a pen, like a mini pen for the chicks to just
It's like a little pen for the chicks, and you put in a heat lamp, you know, because they need to be warm because they're small and they have only got that chicken fuzz. They don't have the chicken feathers.
This sounds like a job for a shoebox, but that's probably
too small.
Unfortunately, that's what they're getting if I'm building a chicken coop.
You can also
that's
use
what I got.
If you're in a rush, you can use your bathtub if you have one of those and put down some puppy pads.
Right.
Yeah, I learned a lot about this today as I was just waiting for another meeting to start and just read everything I could.
Nice. And of course, that chicken coop is going to come in handy free eggs during the robot apocalypse, right? Which Sam Altman has told me is coming. So I have to assume that's also what you're thinking, right?
Right. But,
I mean,
she's prepping. She's prepping for the eventual demise.
Yeah. I think during COVID, I think there was a run on chicken eggs. And then, so I'd go to Costco and you couldn't get the gross of chicken eggs. And then I'd go, hey, hey, and I went to my backyard.
Sold them to your neighbors at a markup. Yeah. Got them for $8 an egg if you want them.
Yeah. They are still really expensive. Emily, how about you? What's something from your search history?
So I took a look and it's a bunch of boring stuff. Like I can't be bothered to remember the website of a certain journal that I was interested in. So I'm like searching the name of the journal. Mm. But then like down below that, we've been watching For All Mankind, which is this like alternate timeline thing that's what happens if the Soviets landed on the moon first?
Right.
Kind of question. Mm-hmm. So it diverges in the 1960s, but it keeps referencing actual history. So my search history is full of like, okay, so when did the Vietnam War actually end?
Right.
And like, you know, which Apollo mission did what? So it's a bunch of queries like that, sort of comparing what's in the show to actual history.
How does that line up based on your sort of cursory research as you watch the show?
So interestingly, so there's a point where Ted Kennedy is like in the background being talked about not going to Chappaquiddick.
Oh.
And then an episode later, he's president.
Wow.
So there's, and I suspect there's way more of that kind of stuff that I'm not catching.
Right.
But just subtle things.
Right.
The media is like, and Ted Kennedy missed a barbecue this weekend in Chappaquiddick. That's super interesting. Yeah, this is, you know, third or fourth person who's mentioned For All Mankind to us. I think this is pushing it over the threshold to where I have to watch this damn thing.
It's enjoyable, but it's tense.
Yeah.
You know, anything where it's like people in outer space really creeps me out because like that degree of like loneliness and sort of lack of fail safes.
Yeah.
You know, like when all the fail safes are there are the ones that you built, and beyond that, you know, your SOL, that's creepy.
Yeah.
Seems uncomfortable, outer space.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Caitlin, what is something you think is overrated?
I might have said this before, and I am running out of thoughts and opinions also, because my brain, along with the rest of my body, is
deteriorating. Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you done the massage gun on your brain?
Oh,
brain.
On your temple.
Yeah.
Ooh, just I real really intense.
Just like chatter all my teeth and just break them. Just bite my tongue off, you know.
Yeah.
Something I think is overrated is soup. Just in general, soup.
Someone who was, I feel like 2 weeks ago, someone came in hot, soup was overrated.
Yeah. Same.
Yeah. And we're talking
this
about,
is pretty.
Is it filling or not? Yeah. So one person came in, I forget who, so that, forgive me. Their overrated was soup because it wasn't filling, that you would have to drink or eat a lot of the soup for it to feel like a meal. Now, what?
That's right.
What do you say to that? Stupid.
I know. I agree because this is, soup is my overrate. I think it's hot, salty water with some shit in it. Like, I don't. Like, oh, okay.
Hey, can
thanks
I
for
get
the little
some hot, salty water with some shit in it? Please. Thank you.
Yeah, you mean I'm going to heat up this whatever I just scoop out of the toilet?
I just think it's a racket. I don't like broth.
Yeah.
I find it to be a frustrating meal to eat. I don't think it's filling. I think broth is a racket. I do like a tomato bisque.
Yeah.
I'll give soup.
You're
that.
Saying it's underrated?
Over, Miles.
No,
we're
I'm
on the over. The massage gun was underrated.
Dude, my brain is rapidly tearing.
Dude, I'm telling you, the massage gun to the temple, aka the hard reset, that is, I learned about it on the Huberman lab.
Factory reset on your fucking crate in your brain.
Yeah, man. Just got
damn, what is wrong with me? Sorry. Yeah. Fuck
Wait,
soup.
But we had someone who said it was overrated. You should fight them.
Yeah, my God. Sorry, my brain. It's
well, whoever that was. I'm
was
gonna
it Mort
go back
Burke? Maybe I think it might have been Mort Burke.
Was it Mort
or Jody Avergan? I think it was last week. It was one of them.
One of those fellas.
I have a new best friend because
yes,
yeah.
So anytime my friends are like, "Let's go get some soup," I'm like, "To what end?"
You have a very specific group of friends, though. Yeah. I've never had a friend come, or maybe you just have more friends than me, but I've never had a friend suggest we go get soup.
I've done that.
I don't know.
I've said,
you have?
Let's get, well, here's the thing. I like the lobster bisque at Hamburger Hamlet in the Valley. I would always go there. Like, that was like my fancy meal. I remember like when I was selling.
But do you say, let's go get Hamburger Hamlet? Or do you say,
no,
let's, go,
say,
get
yo, let's go get bisque? And they're like, what? And I remember it gave me the worst gas. It's like to this day, my friends remember we call it Hamburger Hamlet when I fart really loud because it was so intense. But I haven't had it since, to be honest.
Let's take a little trip down to Biscayne Bay.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
And then you like do a like thing. you gesture with your hands like you're doing a Coke reference.
Like, yeah. But I really mean just like, what are you doing a line? No, I'm eating lobster bisque.
Yeah. Yeah. How
dude,
do you eat
And then
bisque?
Fart a bunch? Yeah, dude. Saturday night. Get with it. It's leap year.
I like soup that eats like a meal, you know.
A stew?
Yeah, I love a stew.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. Yeah.
I can respect a stew.
Wow.
I guess I just don't like anything with like just like a thin chicken or beef broth.
Yeah, I feel that. So yeah, when I'm having soup for dinner, there's a part of me that's saying this isn't what I signed up for. This isn't this don't count as a meal. This is a drink. You gave me drink for meal?
It's a hot, salty drink. And who wants that?
Now, how do you feel about smoothie for meal?
It's a rare
similar objection
for me.
Yeah,
a meal it does not make, I would say.
Yeah. I need solid. I'm not a baby. Okay, I'm not some rotten apple headed baby.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm gonna go and baby. I want solid.
I'm a grown
food
up. Yeah,
in my
yeah.
tummy.
Thank yeah. you. Thank
I
you.
Will just yeah, just on principle, I will eat like a something solid to go with a smoothie. Like I just this can't. My body will not accept it as a full meal. What is what's something that you think is underrated?
I think being a hater is underrated.
Mm.
And we talked about this in one of our episodes. Haters really are the impetus to so much. Like if you had somebody hating on you, you just feel like you have to prove them wrong. You have to go so hard. And a lot of things that we have in society wouldn't be there without haters, but they get a really bad rap. And I was like, y'all need to like genuinely thank your haters and not like, I like to thank my haters, but like for real, right. Thank your haters.
Right. You gave me
an pose.
Yeah, your outside opinion of me sort of spurred me on to do something different, something great, for sure.
Yeah, if you were just being nice to me, I would have just been sitting around doing nothing.
I just, like, in my search history, is somebody... So Sony had this, like, outspoken critic who just hated all things Sony and, like, criticized everything they did. And he made so many good points when he was criticizing them that they hired him, and wow. He became the president of Sony eventually.
Whoa.
That's not how I thought that was going to end.
I know, me neither. I was like, what? So, I mean, truly, hater, if you can find story. A well-informed hater, like, where all their criticism is like, actually, like, the reason I'm so mad is because they make some really good points, then maybe listen to them. Maybe keep them close for reasons other than, you know, that you're just watching them.
Make them your boss.
Yeah.
I feel like the United States should do that for me.
For what do you mean?
Right?
I'm the biggest hater of the United States. Like, so make me president.
President?
Yeah.
But you don't want to be president, though.
I would do some stuff that we would not come back from.
same.
But I was thinking everybody could just be a hater. Like, in the aftermath of the quote-unquote great resignation.
You know,
like, everybody could just focus on hating. And that, that'll be our pathway to employment.
Yeah.
Hey.
We heard it here first.
Plus, it's such a thin line. Like, whenever somebody gets caught doing something really bad, their first response is always like, I'm not listening to the haters on this. So it's a real thin line between hater and like person who is just calling out, you know, horrible behavior. You know?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Especially if like you see your fave getting hated on.
Mm-hmm.
You sometimes you're like, yeah, they're just hating, but if someone you don't like, they're like, it's a very principled critique that person made.
Yeah, right. Like,
the $10 words start coming out.
Yeah. It's a principled critique, and I will stand by as it's made. Eves, how about you? What's something you think is underrated?
So I think rekindling old friendships is underrated. And
underrated. Okay.
Underrated. Okay. Yes. See, wow, yeah. And she's thinking I'm saying like overrated. Rolling.
Yeah,
I'm
coming for you. Yeah.
Because that would have been how I kind of felt in the past. I was like, you know, it's a new day. It's a new dawn. And I don't need to go back to these old friendships. But, you know, I'm rethinking it now after having communications with, you know, somebody who I used to know's mother today. And she was like, oh, y'all should talk. And I'm like, I'll think about it. You know, I'll consider it. Because before I'm like, you know, if they're not in my life anymore, then it's for a reason. You know how all the kids say, they're in your life for a reason or a season or something like that.
Yeah, right.
Mm.
So I don't know if I subscribe to that anymore. So that's what my underrated is going to be.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
And I actually needed to hear that. There's somebody that I've just been like toying with the idea of like, man, I should really get back in touch with them. I haven't talked to them in years.
Yeah.
And that needed to hear that. Thank you very much. What's something you think is overrated?
I think biopics are overrated. Ooh, and this is coming from someone who is, I love biography in written form. I love it in podcast form. I love it in those forms. But for some reason, I have something against biopics. Like, my husband coerced me to go to the Bob Marley biopic other day. And I'm just, for some reason, it's just something about seeing somebody who looks nothing like the person and sounds nothing like the person. And it's really hard to get somebody's accent down. Like, that's not an easy thing to do for the best of actors. There's something that misses the translation. And I think also it's like very hard to cover a person's story in an hour and 45 minutes in a way that feels really meaningful. Not that I think it can't be done in that, like, it's just, to me, they always come off as mediocre or...
Right. Or like someone who could do no wrong or something like that. Like, and he was actually the hero of everything.
Right, yeah. Because they have to follow Bob Marley, the structure.
There's some complexities there with his life, for sure. And also, we were hating on the wig, first of all.
Thank you.
The first thing I said are like, no.
Nobody come gets black wigs right.
Nobody
does.
That's what I'm like. You couldn't find a Jamaican actor who already had dreads or something like that. You had to go find this. Isn't he from the UK?
I am so glad.
Yeah.
I just remember being like, this is trash, man. Like, I can't look at this because the wig was so bad.
The wig was wiggy. Okay. It's always the scalp. With locks, it's the scalp that they get wrong. It's really hard to do.
And it's always like a helmet with like, it feels like a helmet with some tentacles popping off.
Yes. It was giving Tyler Perry wigs. Was Michonne from Walking Dead?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's exactly what it was. Mm. And they try it too. Like, shout out to the wig makers. I know it's a hard job. I'm not saying that they aren't fully talented and skilled and have been working on their crafts. They like tried to, they lengthened the wig throughout the movie.
Yeah.
And all of that. And I'm like, okay. All right.
Wow. You did the church group. Oh, okay. Uh-huh. All right. Well,
take your time.
Yeah. Okay. Well, bless your heart. At least you tried.
Bless your heart.
is there a thing too, like with, because we were talking about this, I think maybe off mic, Jack, but like some people are just kind of so cool, like don't even bother trying to get somebody else to capture that cool on screen. Like there was like a Miles Davis biopic. I'm like, you can't, this dude is also all over the place. You can't just be like, yeah, now you're Miles Davis, you're Bob Marley or whatever.
And they're so iconic that you either have to like cast the person who looks the most like them, like they did with that Tupac one, but then that person then may not be able to act.
Right.
So it's a real, like you are trying to thread the thinnest needle. And also, like a Tupac biography in 100 years, maybe, you know,
when nobody remembers
and they're just like, they've seen the pictures, but like right now, Bob Marley, Tupac, like way too soon. I feel like.
It needs some distance. And it didn't make it any better that at the end of the Bob Marley film, I don't know if I'm going too hard on this right now.
No,
I'm really
go ahead.
Not hating that much. But at the end of the Bob Marley film, they show like actual footage of Bob Marley. And comparing his energy on stage to the energy that the actor was giving was just miles away. It was like, it was so spirited. And you could really see that coming out in the clips. And having just seen the actor do it in the film, I was like, something was missing. That je ne sais quoi wasn't there.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
You know who could have did a good job?
Who?
Chadwick. If Chadwick was alive... Fair. I feel like he could play anybody.
You need an all-time like great actor. Yeah,
yeah,
that's what you need. Like sometimes it works because you have just like an incredible.
Thurgood Marshall?
I don't remember.
He played someone super light skin. I was like, you better quit it.
In that, I think he did. He did play Thurgood Marshall, I believe.
But I wasn't mad at it actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's Kingsley Ben-Adir? That's the name of the actor who played him. But yeah, like, I'm sure when you see that juxtaposition of actual Bob Marley footage, it really feels like your parent being like, yeah, we got Bob Marley at home. Don't worry. it's this. And you're like, ooh.
Yeah.
Katie, what's something that you think is overrated?
I think Chick-fil-A is overrated. Mm. And I think once we all band together and stop eating Chick-fil-A, that's when the revolution will happen.
Wow.
Because they don't like the gays.
Right.
They don't like the blacks for real, because the blacks and the Latinos be in the back. And not in the front interacting with customers.
Wow.
The chicken, I haven't had chicken in maybe 10 years. It was good. I ain't gonna hold you. But other people make good chicken. They're not the only ones. And people be acting like they're the only ones just because they say please and thank you and my pleasure.
Right.
We gotta have higher standards for ourselves.
The hard thing about this is that they're expanding.
They're expanding like crazy, especially in Georgia.
Oh, really?
Across the country, yeah.
There's like four of them on my exit.
Yeah, they're a franchise model, and it's like super hard to get into like their franchise because they have a specific way of doing it.
Franchise model.
Mm. And they're never going to IPO. They're never going to go public.
Right.
I don't know how. But I believe it. If you believe it, I believe it.
Yeah.
The revolution going to start right when we give up Chick-fil-A.
When people can be like, the first principled consumer decision like the entire country can collectively make, they'll be like, aside from the morality, the chicken also, like, Popeyes is better. Man, when I was in the Atlanta studio, that spot, Delilah's, I had a chicken sandwich from there that blew my socks right off my feet. Like, I thought I was like a Willy Wonka exhibit. But yeah, that was definitely like, I think it's just one of those things. And I said this before when I think, was it Dulce Sloan who maybe, or somebody was talking about it, or maybe it was Dr. John. Anyway, somebody was also saying, was coming with that overrated. And
it's probably one of our most common overrateds. And I think it's time. I think it's
like
time,
one of those things. It's like one of those things too, because in the West Coast, we never had it. Like, so when it came on the West Coast, it was like what In-N-Out is to other places. I'm like, Chick-fil-A's here. The thing I heard about from my relatives that live in the South or the East Coast or whatever. Yeah. And yeah, and I think once that subsides, maybe people can, you know, we can all band together and can break and just
the novelty needs to wear off a little bit.
Yeah. And I think if anybody, Katie and I are actually from the land of Truett Cathy. Spent a lot of time growing up there where he lived. And I think if anybody can do it, we can do it. Because we can be like, we have original claim to the land of the Chick-fil-A. And if we can do it, anybody in this country can do it.
You know, I went on a field trip to Chick-fil-A Ranch in elementary school.
No, what's Chick-fil-A Ranch?
I don't know if it still exists. It was so fun. They had, I'm just digging them up now.
They got you with the propaganda. Yeah. They're like, we actually, you know, second thought. I love S. Truett Cathy.
It was so fun. It was like, they had, I guess it was like a cow sanctuary or something. Cause you know, they don't serve beef.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And they had like those like, what are they called? Conestoga wagons?
Conestoga?
The cover wagon thing, Conestoga wagon.
The people going west was that we're in. So we slept in those. It was an overnight trip, mind you.
Wow.
Like, we did s'mores. We like cooked on the fire. It was real fun.
That does sound fun. Yeah. I'll do that today.
We should look at it.
And you know what? Yeah, actually, let me change my overrated really quick.
Actually, they're underrated.
Chick-fil-A Ranch is underrated.
Yeah.
Chick-fil-A the restaurant. Yeah, I think I've talked about this before, but I got, as an award in middle school, I got to go on this field trip, and it was just to the Long John Silver's headquarters, like corporate headquarters.
So it was like
the worst version of your field trip.
Right.
Not even, like, they didn't have any fun-themed thing. You just, like, sat and watched them go through some spreadsheets and then got to eat Long John Silver's.
Yeah. They need to work on their propaganda game, you know?
Yeah. I think it would be pretty cool if they would have showed you all the different kinds of fish that go into the amalgamation.
What actually? We actually shop at a pet store to get this stuff put together. Yeah,
that would be wild if they admitted that.
Yeah, it's just poor memory for sure. Yeah.
Goldfish mash is what you're actually getting.
Oh man!
All right. Well, that's disgusting. Sorry to leave it on that note. But we are going to take a quick break and we're going to come back and we're going to talk some news. We'll be right back.
Do you want to hear about the $100 wedding dress that just saved Abercrombie?
Or the tech acquisition that was just like Game of Thrones?
Or the one financial equation that can solve climate change?
Then check out our daily podcast, The Best One Yet, or as we call it, T-Boy.
This is Nick.
This is Jack.
And we pick the three most interesting business news stories every day for the perfect mix.
20 minutes each morning, you're going to feel brighter.
We call it Pop Biz, don't we, Jack?
Where pop culture meets business news. So whether you want to kick off a conversation with your buddies,
or you're going for that promotion at work,
or you just want to know the trends before your friends,
feel brighter by starting your morning with us every weekday.
Listen to The Best One Yet on the Wondery app or wherever you get your pods.
You can listen to The Best One Yet ad-free right now on Wondery Plus. For more deep dive and daily business content, listen on Wondery, the destination for business podcasts.
With shows like The Best One Yet, How I Built This, and many more, Wondery means business.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
And we're back.
We're back.
And Josh, you want to kick us off with a little bit of a, what you think, something underrated?
Underrated is, it actually ties into my overrated, but playing Zelda Tears of the Kingdom because you're unemployed.
It
hits different.
Yeah.
When you're unemployed. It has helped and probably hurt my job search, playing Tears of the Kingdom. Not like a game player guy, but I got laid off around the holidays, and my in-laws gave me Tears of the Kingdom, and I was like, I don't have the time.
Right.
And I was like, wait, I do have the time.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I've logged many, many hours on it. So I'd say that is my underrated. You should be playing Tears of the Kingdom if you aren't.
You mentioned that it has both hurt and helped your jobs search. How have you met prospective employers while playing Tears of the Kingdom? How has it helped your job search?
I brought it to a job interview and I was playing during the interview. And the guy was like,
I forgot
oh.
to go to interview.
I need to figure out why I can't find a job. Have no clue.
I think it hurt because it's probably hours I could have spent.
Oh, the hurt is clear. The hurt is clear. How's it helping?
It's helped because it's helped my mental health. Like,
there you go.
Like, I have this. Yeah, I have this to look forward to today. I have to finish this temple.
Right.
You know, yeah. I tell my wife, like, hey, I know you're in a meeting, but I really have to beat this boss.
Oh, you got to knuckle down right now. Can,
yeah, just shh. I'm focusing. Daddy's focusing.
Can't you use headphones, Josh? No, I can't.
It ruins the realism. They didn't have headphones back then.
Yeah, in Hyrule.
So then what's your overrated?
My overrated is being unemployed due to tech layoffs. It is fun enough when you start out. You're like, you're getting some money in when you get unemployment and things, but then that runs out. Because we live in North Carolina. I'm not sure how it works in California, but here in the South, we get like a certain period of times and then you're like done. You're cut off. You can't like reapply and you're just got to figure
they
out.
They actually
what you're
come
do.
To your house and kick you in the nuts.
Yeah.
When it runs out, so.
Yeah. You can get, I think, like something around 20 something weeks in California.
I think it's like
26
12
weeks
here.
Or something. Yeah.
It's paltry.
Yeah.
12 and the swift kick in the nuts.
Yeah.
So, exactly. So with that, I mean, with that, it's led me into, I need to figure out where I'm going to go in tech. So that's where those UI UX classes come in.
There you go.
Because you got to get things on your resume, I think. Right. It's like catching Pokemon. You got to have these little things so that people will look at you and go, ooh.
Something besides Tears of the Kingdom, you can also add Pokemon to your resume.
Yeah, I put that on a bunch, and they said, please take that off.
Yeah. They're like, we're only looking for people who play Pal World. Sorry.
That's my problem.
There you go. Will, how about you? What's something you think is underrated? What's something you think is overrated?
Underrated, I would say normal human beings attempting to fight professional football players.
Some of that Cam Newton.
Did you guys see the video of Cam Newton?
Yeah.
Handling those four dudes, however many there were.
Yeah.
It was incredible. And disclaimer, don't actually do this, but you should absolutely attempt to fight former football players who are used to having 11 people trying to kill them, and being paid millions of dollars. Because they're good at preventing that from happening. Yeah, and it's underrated because I then get to watch the video of you getting your ass kicked by a football player. People do not understand how big these human beings are and how strong they are and how they're used to just like, again, like Cam Newton's one of the greatest runners of all time, not for a quarterback, but in general.
Just period.
He's 6'4". 6'4 or 6'5 and 245 pounds. And he handled those guys. His hat didn't come off.
Like, his hat
literally stayed on his head.
Yeah. What kind of hat? It looks like he's wearing like a witch's hat or something.
Yeah. He absolutely looks like he's in Wizard of Oz.
He's got that hipster flat brim pilgrim hat with like his dreads coming out of the top. Yeah.
He looks like he's Dick Tracy almost, or like a Dick Tracy villain. But it's this specific brand of hat that he's been having made custom for him for a while now.
He looks like the old guy from Poltergeist 2.
Yeah, he does have like Quaker Oats guy, old guy from Poltergeist 2.
Yeah.
Yeah,
a lot of people don't realize that's the same guy.
Kids, I feel like kids forgot. Do you all remember the Mike Vallely fighting videos? He was a professional skateboarder.
Oh, yeah. They were like in CKY and stuff.
Kids need to watch those. And that's like the probably like Cam Newton is going to fuck you up. Like it's like Mike Vallely can take on five people.
Yeah.
And he was like a big guy.
Yeah.
But that's on the
lower end that's of the lower spectrum end.
As far as professional athletes go. You need to understand.
Especially a quarterback who then starts growing dreads. Like, that's because they've had some kind of evolution. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
And so, like, they're probably on top of the physical prowess. They're like mentally now on another plane, too, where they're like, oh, the three of you against me?
And the amazing thing is that Cam didn't even, like, he didn't really get violent back with them. He just used their momentum and did the quarterback thing of like, it's like he had a Vietnam flashback and went into soldier mode and just didn't want to get sacked. So he's like immediately, it's like the pocket closed in on him by three guys who are also swinging on him.
Yeah.
And he just moved them around like they were absolute ragdolls. Yeah.
Unnecessary roughness.
Yeah. 15-yard penalty.
Yeah.
It was super funny to watch. And I obviously don't want people going and trying professional athletes, but also I kind of do because then I get to watch the videos. So
yeah, exactly. Yeah,
so you get bonuses as a professional athlete.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
What's something you think is overrated, Will?
I'll keep this one short. Not wishing things on your worst enemy.
Not wishing.
They're your worst enemy. You should try it sometime.
Yeah.
It feels great. You should wish all the worst things on your worst enemy. So, yeah, it's pretty straightforward.
Do you think we're right now, like, America is just chicken shit now? We don't even wish the worst on our worst
enemies. Yeah, it's too nice
to our worst enemies.
Yeah, man.
So
what happened?
I'll say, you know, because so much of my, persona revolves around Twitter and shit. So I get scolded on there a lot. Like, there's been a few recent tweets where I've started fake rumors about awful people dying. And like Mitch McConnell and Ian Miles Chong recently, I started a whole, like, Time quoted my tweet on their website and stuff. I said that the president or the premier of Malaysia executed him. And I just, like, popped, I just tweeted it and then went to sleep and then woke up and it had, like 50,000 likes and had, like, millions and millions of views. And people were like, what the fuck? Did this really happen? And of course, I get scolded by people who are like, it's wrong when the right does it and it's wrong when the left does it. And I'm like, yeah, but I'm correct in my opinion. I'm not a piece of shit.
This quote came out of a Dale Earnhardt Avatar account.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? Exactly. Like, the only reason it got traction is because I used the little red light alert emojis and put, like, breaking Ian Miles Chong executed, signed by the premier of Malaysia. He was 34 years old or something like that and posted his picture.
Hey, man, Dale would know because he's up there.
Exactly. Right. Thank you very much. But yeah, people. So I have fun online and people get mad about it. And I'm just saying, get off your high horse. Stop being high and mighty and wish, you know, they're your worst enemy. You should wish bad.
And it's a wish. Your wish doesn't matter. Shit.
Exactly. So, yeah. Exactly. There's no magic.
I will say the Miles Chong thing was kind of annoying to me because I started my painting of Dale Earnhardt and Ruth Bader Ginsburg welcoming him into heaven. A week later, it was debunked.
Yeah, so. Fake news.
Yeah, it was fake news. Well, I'm glad to know that you're going to have the same post, like, you know, second career as, you know, George W. Bush. You're going to start. Yeah, yeah. You're just going to get into.
Yeah, Jack and Bush, both war criminals.
Yeah, exactly.
A lot of people don't know that about me.
Yep, but, little known fact.
Little known fact. I'm glad. Do you guys like my flight suit? My mission accomplished.
Don't ask. Zach.
I love the banner behind you too.
I had to ask.
Yeah.
I said, don't ask them. Let them compliment you organically. If they'll do that if they like it. Don't.
Sorry, I'm taking this pickup course from Miles, and he's got to teach me a lot of things about how to
don't
carry myself
for the
with
compliments, man.
Yeah.
Just let the outfit do the talking.
Do you guys like my shirt?
Ah, shit, man.
All
sleeves
right.
are too puffy.
Should we talk about libs of TikTok?
Yeah, here's a Daily Zeitgeist, a typical hard turn into dark shit. Yeah, so libs of TikTok. Chaya Raichik, you know, this account has seen massive growth over the years. And, like, you know, what started out as, like, a place for election denialism and COVID misinformation and tales of child trafficking has turned now into, like, a full-blown LGBTQ plus hate machine. And sending, like, you know, the account's followers on harassment campaigns against innocent people. And recently, Raichik, the account's operator, was interviewed by Taylor Lorenz. And while at times there are moments that make you laugh at how stupid and ignorant and uninformed she is, her views are inspiring, you know, like real world violence, like bomb threats, death threats, doxing, you name it. And she has this pattern of directing followers towards LGBTQ plus teachers or school administrators, other figures like that. And when things get too wild, she'll delete the post and act like nothing happened. Even though she recently said that she wears the label of stochastic terrorist with pride. Mm. And like in the interview, it's clear that like Raichik doesn't really give much thought to her beliefs in like a way that she can actually articulate herself. Probably a symptom of just being in your little bubble of hate speech and people like rah-rahing the shit on. So here's an excerpt where Taylor Lorenz is asking her just sort of like, what exactly is your issue with trans adults? What harm are they causing? And again, really unable to articulate anything resembling a thought.
It's a lie.
And what harm is it causing, do you believe?
I like the truth. I like truth.
Right, but I'm saying what's the harm of people expressing their gender identity differently than you believe it to be? What harm are they causing?
Like I said, we are a nation of truth, and I seek the truth.
But I'm asking about the harm. What's the harm? You might believe it to be false, but what's
the harm? The harm is that there's a lie that is very mainstream and is being embedded into every institution.
I guess I'm wondering what the material harm is. Aside from it's maybe something that you disagree with, as in your version of the truth is different than their version of the truth, what is the material harm of them living their life as a woman or man or gender that you don't agree
Not
with?
Anything that's wrong is there a material harm necessarily.
So there's no harm.
Not everything that's wrong is a material harm.
Eh?
Not everything that's wrong is a material harm.
And then there was this other clip, too, that kind of summed up just how, like, all over the place this interview was. This is like another section of the interview where Taylor Lorenz is asking a question and then gets interrupted.
Oh, this is my favorite part, I think.
That's good.
I'm curious kind of how you're thinking, you know, when you think about the way that you put out content and the way that you think about growing your media empire.
Here, this is a blowjob.
What? I don't know what...
What are you showing me this for? And yeah, like I said, like the interview, it's not anything where you're like, wow, this is one of these, like, this person
Sorry, Miles, here, this is a blowjob. Show you this.
I'm sorry.
It's like two middle schoolers.
I found it on the internet.
Yeah, exactly.
I found it on the internet. Yeah. What do you want me not to show it to you?
So now what?
But it's again, a blowjob. Do you deny, sir?
Right. I'm sorry. How is this relevant to what I was asking about the real world harm that your account is causing in your actions? And, you know, this thing has taken evolution. Like, rather now it's just beyond like just sort of this right wing, you know, account where people are just, you know, get to all the people can fill their tanks filled with hate by ingesting her content. She now has, you know, she found a fan in this guy, Michael Walters, who's the Republican school attendant, school superintendent of Oklahoma, and gave her a spot on the Oklahoma Library Media Advisory Committee, where she can sort of continue her campaign to get wokeness out of schools. It should be also noted, Raichik has only been to Oklahoma once in her life. She doesn't live there. She, like, lives between California and Florida. But her posts on her Libs of TikTok account did lead to a school receiving a bomb threat in Tulsa.
Oh, and so she's basically a resident.
Yeah.
I mean, once you've almost gotten a school blown up in a state, you basically live
you
there.
You can. That's how you register to vote. Yeah. Exactly. That's how that works. And so now a lot of people are noticing her role in Oklahoma, especially after this death of a 16-year-old non-binary student, Next Benedict. So this student was violently attacked in a school bathroom in suburban Tulsa and passed away the following day. Police say They don't think that they died as a result of physical trauma, but Nex's friend, who was also attacked that day, said that Nex had indeed suffered head trauma during the incident. So it's like a very murky but fucked up incident. And like the timing of when Nex's parents were informed is just like, it's just like a total fuck up at every level. And a lot of Rachik's allies are saying, well, look, she has nothing to do with this. Like, I was like, why are you saying that she has blood on her hand? These kinds of extreme political views absolutely have real world effects on kids. So like Nex Benedict's mother, just as an example, said that the bullying began in high school right after Oklahoma Governor Kevin Stitt signed a bill into law that forbids trans and gender expansive kids from accessing restrooms consistent with their gender identity. So it's not hard to imagine how the hate that was inspired by Rachik's past posts would translate to danger for these marginalized kids.
Right.
And like, especially when you look at the fact that 2 years ago, there a lot of people were pointing to the fact that the Libs of TikTok account went after a teacher in the exact same, in the very school district that Nex Benedict was part of, for saying that, oh, like this person is a groomer or whatever because they support LGBTQ plus students. And according to Nex Benedict's mother, this was like a teacher that they looked up to a lot. And then 2 years later, this tragedy befalls their family. So a lot of people are like, this is just like, what the fuck is going on? And you're inviting this person to be part of the school administrative body, or at least the overarching or overseeing body of the school district. And again, you look at like, there's a recent report that found that like only a quarter of trans youth who were victimized at school were able to report this to a teacher or staff member. And of those who did, half reported that staff helped only a little or not at all. So like the current backdrop of these hostile bills that like target these students only makes this kind of behavior acceptable to their peers, like in this very like indirect or direct way. And yeah, I mean, like, we're also just looking at just a total failure on the part of schools and administrators to actually protect kids. So, yeah, I mean, this is like, I don't, right now, there's a lot more pressure for Rachik to be like ousted from this school body. But as I mean, it seems like there is enough support within the people that make those decisions to keep her there at the moment. Yeah, it's like, but it's just also alarming when you have these kinds of people like, you know, running this Libs of TikTok account, and they truly have no idea of like what their actions are doing, how they reverberate in space. They're just kind of like, yeah, I get clicks like this and it's fun. And I don't know, they call me stochastic terrorist. I think it makes me feel important. I think that's
fucking
cool.
Tough as hell, dog.
Right.
But yeah. And then meanwhile, just attacking the most vulnerable people in a society, like children struggling with gender identity, and just and then attacking the people who might support them and make them like slightly less vulnerable. It's just like going down the list of like the easiest like people to fucking bully and harm in a society, and like making that your mission.
And like we've said this in the past, like a lot of this is to do with, you know, trying to make mainstream the shame of not being like a cis het person. Because from their perspective, the world has become too inclusive. So the way to push back against that is to try and revive like this, the culture of shaming people to do that. And so unfortunately, it's like going after people who support these very like vulnerable
kids. And it's still there. Like it's not, it doesn't need to be revived that much. Like there's a fucking hell of a shame culture for these people to deal with. They're already, you know, the most vulnerable to this sort of shaming culture. And then they're just piling on.
It didn't go anywhere, that's for sure. They're just like adding fuel to the fire. They're dumping gasoline on it. Rachik is watching that interview. I didn't watch the entire thing. I could not take it.
It's like
I could not watch how, just for lack of a better term, stupid she comes across, because she, you know, not that I expected her to have some like well thought out reasoning behind her hate campaign. She doesn't know what she believes exactly.
Yeah.
She's never given it thought because she's never been pressed to explain it. She's only ever, you know, she only sees the things that she wants to see online. She is an online person Like, yeah. definitively, that is the exclusively.
Yeah.
And the moment she has to defend herself in real life to any kind of scrutiny, not the thing about the interview, there was not a single tough question in it.
No,
oh, no,
nothing,
no.
Nothing tough was asked of her whatsoever.
It's just straight believe? Up
yeah,
like,
I
hey,
do.
You grew mm-hmm. up in this community, right? Yep. So you've never like met, you don't know that you've met an LGBTQ plus person. Nope.
Right.
Just online. And like, yep. have you met them online? Have you interacted with them online? Nope. Maybe. Just just seen videos about them.
But yeah. she did the Nickelback portrait thing. Like, this is a blowjob.
Yeah. Right. yeah.
right. So there's that.
It was absolutely incredible. And also for the listeners, if you haven't seen it, her fit that she is Please. Wearing during this interview, I put a picture of it in the chat. Yeah. I don't know if y'all can see it. She's wearing like the most Christian homeschool mom denim jean skirt and a picture of Taylor Lorenz yeah. on her t-shirt. Like that
Got
is
you,
the
loser.
Yeah, yeah. like
yeah.
and then she sounds as like if you wear that outfit to an interview and then sound as stupid as you do.
Right.
As she does.
Yeah,
you've lost on yeah. all fronts. On all, there's no coming back from that. Now, having said that, I know her fans are gonna still support her no matter what she says, no matter how stupid she is.
Oh, they were gassed up from that outfit. Yeah. They're like, oh, yeah. that t-shirt's perfect.
Yeah, yeah. You have to come stronger. I still feel like ideally in my mind, her ardent supporters were just like typing that out, but then like you know with the crying behind the mask
yeah.
face.
Because, yeah,
like,
yeah.
there is something undeniable about that interview of, like, oh, this is the leader of our little stochastic terrorism outfit.
This is
like,
your
she's,
team?
She sounds yeah. this stupid.
It is weird when you see people that can't support their own argument, because it feels like if I don't agree with someone and it's, like, the horrible thing, I'm like, well, if you have a thought out, so, you know, like, some libertarians, you're like, oh, I guess you believe, if you believe what yeah. you think, but it's like she truly doesn't.
Takes
and
like
she,
20 yeah. minutes of conversation to get to the bullshit with them.
Yeah.
Like they, you're yeah. like, oh, you're like picking up momentum. I see how you made this mistake. And then it's yeah. like, but yeah. But yeah. with her, it was just straight up.
It's hard to look yeah. at that fit because I was raised Pentecostal and that's like how all of us dressed, you
yeah.
know, and
my
it's,
first crush.
But it's weird. It's like if my church was in Brooklyn, kind of,
right.
it's kind of
yeah,
like
yeah.
this. It's
Skinny
got this
jeans,
kind of thing where it's like
hair slick back.
Like yeah. you shouldn't be if you have those views on top of anything. You shouldn't be allowed to dress halfway hip.
Yeah,
like that should you should right. you should. I don't know what you should be dressed in, but it shouldn't be something that sort of. It's like the hip version of like the movie Mimic. You know,
yeah.
they're like I think that's a human being over there wearing
yeah.
that fit. But it's really just like a cockroach
that's
with its hands on its face.
Yeah,
like
that, I think she did a good job of basically distilling the like this mentality of hatred down to its essence, which in the end is stupid. You know what I mean? You can't
yeah,
actually
yeah.
say what are the damages that like a more articulate sort of homophobic, transphobic person might be able to be like, well, then this could happen to our kids. But really, at the end of the day, there's not really none.
Yeah,
I don't know. None
sure.
really.
And
I think,
it gives
yeah.
it gives the game away of like their ultimate goal is to get rid of trans people altogether.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, well, what harm are they causing? Well, this ultimately I'm going to sit here and sound stupid, but that's because I don't want to say out loud. They're not causing any harm. We just want to get rid of them because
yeah,
we
just
like
don't want them around. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
That's ultimately, if she had just skipped all of the hemming and hawing and just said that,
yeah.
like it's almost more of a noble response than like, you know, sounding like a complete fucking
yeah.
idiot.
You'd think the owning the libs thing would have a platform by now. It doesn't, but it's like, it feels like it eventually you would fill in the bullet points, but the only purpose is to essentially like wreak havoc. But they don't have any actual platform that they stand on.
Yeah.
It's liberal like, tears. That's their platform.
Yeah,
that's the reactionary's thing. Is just like, I don't know why I'm so angry, but I'm angry. And as long as it upsets my, you know, left-leaning ideological opponents, that's all I give a shit about.
Yeah. I mean, one thing we can learn, right-wing hate-mongering fascists are getting better at wearing ironic t-shirts, and the left
yeah.
is terrified. Mm-hmm.
I am scared. Yes.
I'm
Daily
scared.
Beast.
So
it's
Daily
Beast headline.
Yeah. All right, let's take a quick break, and we're going to come back and talk about the coolest museum coming to an empty closed down Kroger near you. We'll be right back.
Do you want to hear about the $100 wedding dress that just saved Abercrombie? Or the tech acquisition that was just like Game of Thrones?
Or the one financial equation that can solve climate change?
Then check out our daily podcast, The Best One Yet, or as we call it, T-Boy.
This is Nick.
This is Jack.
And we pick the three most interesting business news stories every day for the perfect mix.
20 minutes each morning, you're going to feel brighter.
We call it Pop Biz, don't we, Jack?
Where pop culture meets business news. So whether you want to kick off a conversation with your buddies,
or you're going for that promotion at work,
or you just want to know the trends before your friends,
feel brighter by starting your morning with us every weekday.
Listen to The Best One Yet on the Wondery app or wherever you get your pods.
You can listen to The Best One Yet ad-free right now on Wondery Plus. For more deep dive and daily business content, listen on Wondery, the destination for business podcasts.
With shows like The Best One Yet, How I Built This, and many more, Wondery means business.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
And we're back. So, yeah, just in terms of juxtaposing, like what these companies are saying and the mainstream media is buying versus what is actually happening. So I was reminded of Sam Altman telling The New Yorker that he keeps like a bag with cyanide capsules ready to go in case of the AI apocalypse. So, you know, he is an expert who gets billions of dollars richer if people think his technology is so powerful that he's like freaked out by it. So, but that's something that I don't know. I've seen reprinted in like long articles about the danger of AI. And then there's this other like more real world trend where like you talk about a Google engineer who admitted they're not going to use any large language model as part of their family's healthcare journey.
Oh, that was a Google. That was a Google senior vice president. That was
senior vice president,
very high up, actually. Yes. Or not a senior of Google VP Greg Corrado.
Yeah,
who's one of the heads of Google Health itself. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And there's also this story from your show has a Fresh Hell segment at the end where you talk about examples, headlines that are just
it's Fresh Hell.
Yeah, it's just Fresh Hell. It's new versions
the fresh
of Fresh
AI Hell. Yeah.
Yeah. The one about Duolingo from a recent episode where they're getting rid of human translators, firing them, cutting the workforce, replacing them with translation AI, even though the technology isn't there yet. But the point that you were making on the show is that they're willing to go forward with that because the user base won't notice the difference until they're in Spain and need to get to a hospital and asking for the biblioteca. You know, like it's,
yeah.
They are specifically an audience who is not going to know how bad the product that they're getting is because they're just like not in a position to know that by the nature of the product. And so just this distinction between being hyped to the mainstream media and like these long read, like New Yorker, Atlantic articles as this is a future that we should be scared of because like it's going to become self-aware and Sam Altman is freaked out. And then what it's actually doing, which is just making everything shittier around us, is I think a big kind of chunk that I took away from your show that was just like, oh yeah, that makes way more sense. That feels much more likely to be how this thing progresses.
Yeah. So the AI doomerism, which is when Altman says, I've got my bug out bag and my cyanide capsules in case the robot apocalypse comes, or when Jeff Hinton, who's credited, has a Turing Award for his work on the specific kind of computer program that's used to gather the statistics that's behind these large language models. He's now concerned that it's on track to becoming smarter than us. And it's going to, like, these piles of linear algebra are not going to combust into consciousness. And anytime someone is like, you know, pointing to that boogeyman, what they're doing is they're basically hiding the actions of the people in the picture who are right. using it to do things like make a shitty language learning product because it's cheaper to do it that way than to pay the people with the actual expertise to do the translations.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's just leading just to, I mean, I like this kind of thought on this. I mean, this kind of process, and Cory Doctorow's got this kind of sister concept of AI hype, which is in shitification, right. which I think the Linguistic Society America, it was their overall.
American Dialect Society. Picked it as the overall word of the year for 2023. Nice. But in shitification is something very specific, right? It's not just like we're now swimming in AI extruded junk, right? Mm-hmm. AI in quotes as always. It's something more. The companies create a platform that you sort of get lured in because initially it's really useful. So this is like, you think about how Amazon was great for finding products. It sucked for your local brick and mortar businesses. But as a consumer, it was super convenient because you could find things. But then the companies basically turn around and they extract all of the value that the customer is getting out of it. And then they turn around to the other parties there, the people trying to sell things, and they extract value out of them. So you start off with this thing that's initially quite useful and usable, and then it gets enshittified in the name of making profits for the platform. And that's like the specific thing about enshittification.
Yeah. And I would say there's some kinds of processes you can think about enshittification, the kind of idea that you have to rush to a certain kind of market, that you have a monopoly on this kind of thing. And I guess, the thing about large language models, I think that we get on and talk a lot about, is that large language models are kind of born shitty with content. So it's not like the platform started and that platform monopoly led to this kind of process of enshittification. It's more like you decided to make a tool that is a really good word prediction machine, and you use it for a substitute for places in which people are meant to be speaking kind of with their own tone, with their own voice, with their own forms, and their own
expertise.
And so it's kind of, it's born shitty. And so, this kind of thing, I think, is really helpful. It makes me think of kind of a thing I think I saw a few times on Twitter where people are like, well, if you're an expert in any of these fields and you read content by large language models, you actually know anything about this, you're going to know that it's absolute bullshit, right? You know, if you ask it to write you a short, treatise on, sociological methodology, something specific that I know a little bit about, it's going to be absolute bullshit, right? But good enough to computer engineers and, higher ups at these companies.
Yeah.
So here's an example. The other day, I came across an article that supposedly quoted me out of this publication from India called Bihar Prabha. And I'm like, I never said those words. I could see how someone might think I would. Right. And then I searched my emails like, no, I never corresponded with any journalists at this outfit. So I wrote to them. I said, fabricated quote, please take it down. And print a retraction, which they did. And they wrote back and said, oh, yeah, that actually we prompted some large language model to create that article for us and posted it.
Yes, because it seems like you might have. And right. the large language models, they don't like that. That's isn't that what hallucinations are a lot of the time, is just the large language model making up stuff it seems like is what the person wants them to say.
Exactly. But here's the whole thing. every single thing output from a large language model has that property. It's just that sometimes it seems to make sense.
The whole thing is trying to do a trick of like predict, I figured out what you wanted me to say. Ha ha. But it's like, well, but what I wanted you to say is not always, that's not how I want my questions answered. That's actually a wildly flawed way of coming up, like answering people. It's definitely something that I do in my day-to-day life because I'm scared of conflict and a people pleaser, but that's not, I'm not a good scientific instrument for that reason, you know? Like, but
you just got you just an avoidant attachment style, which as another avoidance.
They've just made me a scientific model. That's terrible.
Like, you know, I can't believe this.
I was like, I don't know if you saw that headline where Tyler Perry was like, I was going to open an $800 million studio, but I stopped the second I saw what Sora, this video generative AI, could do. And I realized we're in trouble. He said, quote, I had no idea until I saw recently the demonstrations of what it's able to do. It's shocking to me. And he's basically saying, he's like, you could make a pilot and save millions of dollars. This is going to have all kinds of ramifications. That feels like half like just ignorance, because this person's like, oh my God, I don't know what, like total wow factor, but also maybe hype. But I'm also curious, from your perspective, what are the actual dangers that we're facing, that, you know, because right now I think everything is just all about these are the jobs it's going to take. I think in the LLM episode where the LLM predicted what the potential of LLMs were and the jobs that it could take in a very
GPT's paper was so ridiculous.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Where it's like, huh? You know, like just sort of the unethical nature of how even these companies are doing research and creating data to support this.
Can we just Miles? Can you just stop and like explain exactly what the methodology of that paper was?
No, please. I will allow the experts to do it, because it's absolutely bonkers to hear, because any person who's like been at any, like, tried to look at a study or something, and you look at methodology like,
So methodology is a very kind term for what was in that paper.
Yeah,
truly.
So Alex, did you want to summarize real quick what was in there? Was two different things we were looking at.
Yeah.
There was something that came out of OpenAI and something from Goldman Sachs. And the Goldman Sachs one was silly, but not as silly as the OpenAI one.
Yeah, I mean, getting in the details, and I went through this and I puzzled this paper. I like poked my friend who's a labor sociologist. I'm like, what the hell is going on here? And, you know, okay, so there's this kind of metric that you can use to judge how hard a task is that the government collects. And there's this kind of job classification. They rate them from, 1 to 7, effectively. And so what Goldman Sachs said was, well, basically anything from 1 to 4, probably a machine can do. And you're like, okay, that's kind of silly. That's huge assumptions there. I understand, though, as a researcher, you have to make some assumptions when you don't have great data. But what OpenAI did is that they asked two entities what could be automated. They asked one, other OpenAI employees, hey, what jobs do you think could be automated? Already hilarious, because, they're pretty inclined.
They're not doing those jobs, right?
Yeah, they're not doing those jobs. They're pretty primed to think that their technology is great. And then they asked GPT-4 itself, they prompted and say, hey, can we automate these jobs? So,
you'll never guess what the answer was.
You'll never guess.
They took the output of that as if it were data.
Yeah.
And then, like, these ridiculous graphs and blah, blah, blah. And it's just like the whole thing is fantasy.
Yeah. Right. So is the danger there just sort of this reliance? Like, I guess, so if we're classifying the sort of threats to our sense of like how information is distributed or what is real or what is hype or whatever, or if they're actually taking jobs, what is something that I think people actually need to be aware of or to sort of prepare themselves for how this is going to disrupt things in a way that, isn't necessarily the end of the world, but definitely changing things for the worse?
There's a whole bunch of things. And the one that I'm sort of most going on about these days is threats to the information ecosystem. Mm-hmm. So I want to talk about that. But there's also things like automated decision systems being used by governments to decide who gets social benefits and who gets them yanked, right? Mm-hmm. Things like Dr. Joy Bullam-Winney worked with a group of people in, I want to say, New York City, who were pushing back against having a face recognition system installed as their like entry system. So they were going to be continuously surveilled because the company who owned the house that they lived in, or maybe it was a, I'm not sure if it was government,
apartment complex. Yeah.
Wanted to basically use biometrics as a way to have them gain entry to their own homes, right? Where they lived. So there's dangers of like lots and lots of different kinds. The one that's maybe closest to what we've been talking about, though, is these dangers to the information ecosystem, where you now have this synthetic media like that news article I was talking about before being posted as if it were real, mm-hmm. without any watermarks, without anything that either a person can look at and say, I know that's fake. Like I knew because it was my name and I knew I didn't say that thing. Right. But somebody else wouldn't have. And there's also not a machine readable watermarking in there. So you can just filter it out. And this stuff goes and goes. So there was, a few months ago, someone posted a fake mushroom foraging guide that they had created using a large language model to Amazon as a self-published book. Right? So then it's just up there as a book.
Yeah.
Right. And coming back around to Sora, those videos, like, they look impressive at first glance, but then just like Alex was saying about the art having this sort of facile style to it, there's similar things going on in the videos. But still, like, it should be watermarked. It should be obvious that you're looking at something fake. And right. what OpenAI has done is they've put this tiny little faint thing down the lower right-hand corner that looks like some sort of readout from a sensor going up and down, and then it swirls into the OpenAI logo. And it's faint, and it's in the same spot that Twitter puts the button for turning the sound on and off. So it's hidden by that, if you're seeing these things on Twitter. Wow. And it's completely opaque, right? If you are not in the know, if you don't know what OpenAI is, if you don't know that fake videos might exist, that doesn't tell you anything.
Right.
So these are the things I'm worried about.
And the things I'm really worried about is, you know, these things doing a pretty terrible job at producing written content and videos mm-hmm. and images. And so it's not that they could replace a human person, but it just takes a boss or a VP to think that it's good enough.
Right.
And then this replaces whole classes of occupations. So again, talking to Carla Ortiz, who's a concept artist, she's done work for Marvel and DC and huge studios and Magic the Gathering. And, you know, and she's basically saying after Midjourney Stability AI produces this incredibly crappy content, jobs for concept artists have really dried up. They've gone and it's really hard. And I mean, especially for folks who are just breaking into the industry, who might just be trying to get their you know, their work out there for entry-level jobs, they can't find anything right now. And so imagine what that's going to replace, what that's going to encroach on, right? I mean, that's kind of unique thing about kind of creative fields and coding fields and whatnot. And then I would say this automated decision making kind of in government and hiring, I mean, those are, you know, deathly, you know, terrifying, right? And then, I mean, this is already being deployed. I mean, at the US-Mexico border, there's kind of mass. The Markup actually just put out this interview with David Moss, who's at the Electronic Freedom Foundation. No, either the Electronic Freedom Foundation, I think he's at the ACLU. I have to look this up. But it's basically a survey of like surveillance technology that's at the southern border. And Dave Moss is at EFF, the Markdown, published something about with him. It was like a virtual reality tour of surveillance technology or something wild like that.
I was going to say, there's also things like ShotSpotter, which purports to be able to detect when a gun has been fired. Yeah. And this has been deployed by police departments all over the country. And there's, you know, there's no transparency into how it was evaluated or how it even works or why you should believe it works. And so what we have is a system that tells the cops that they're running into an active shooter situation, which is definitely a recipe for reducing police violence, right? Jesus,
right.
Yeah. Right.
Powered by Microsoft. Yeah.
And there was a recent investigation into that showed that it's always, almost always used in neighborhoods.
Yeah. Communities of color. Yeah. The wired piece on that. Yeah. Basically, I think they said about, 70% of the census tracts? Something ridiculous like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's absurd. And then there's things like Epic, which is a healthcare electronic health records company, is partnering with Microsoft to push this synthetic text into so many different systems so that you're going to get like reports in your patient records that were automatically generated and then supposedly checked by a doctor who doesn't have time to check it thoroughly.
Right.
And they're going to be doing things like, you know, randomly putting in information about BMI when it's not even relevant, or misgendering people over the place, or, you know, this kind of stuff is going to hurt.
Yeah.
And I wanted to add to the issue of like entry-level jobs drying up for people who do, for example, illustration. Dr. Joy Bolognini points out that we're getting what's called an apprentice gap, where those positions where the easy stuff gets automated, and I don't think this is just in creative fields, but the positions where you're doing the easy stuff and you're learning how to master it and you are working alongside someone who's doing the harder stuff, if that gets replaced by automation, then it becomes harder to train the people to do the stuff that requires expertise.
Right.
Yeah. And it's easier to do in creative fields because there's such a just inability for executives to, you know, like they don't know it. They've never known anything about like what is quality creative work. So I feel like it's much easier for them to just be like, yeah, get rid of that. And we'll, like the way that we'll find out about that isn't working is the quality of the creative output will be far worse.
Right. I mean, all those folks really tend to care about are, you know, content and engagement metrics. You know, you can't actually have something that's kind of known for quality or creativity, right? Yeah. And it does remind me a little bit about kind of, you know, the first rebels against automation, the Luddites, and, you know, the kind of way in which they did have this apprentice guild system in which they trained for, you know, a decade or so before they could, you know, perhaps go ahead and open their own shop in a way that, you know, those folks were replaced by these water frames that were, they're called water frames because they were produced by hydraulic power, but then, you know, effectively powered by unskilled people and by unskilled, usually children.
Yeah.
Doing incredibly dangerous work. But folks that had been training for this, the apprentices were incredibly steaming mad.
Yeah. And then we made their name a synonym for like dummy.
Being a hater.
Hater. Yeah.
Yeah.
Tech
yeah.
hater.
Not canary in the coal mine.
But there's been some nice efforts to reclaim them by Brian Merchant and Kevin Mueller and some folks. Yeah.
So just in the comparison to crypto, it feels like the adoption here, the hype cycle here is more widespread than crypto. Like with crypto, there was that moment where we saw the person behind the curtain who was, you know, the people, there was the fall of crypto. With AI, I don't feel like there is any incentive for anyone to, any of the stakeholders, I guess you'd say,
you got us.
Involved to, to just come out and be like, it was bullshit. You know, there's just so much buy-in across the board. Where, I guess we've already talked about where you see this going, but do you think there's any hope for this getting kind of found out, the truth catching on? Or do you think it's just going to have to be 100 years from now when somebody changes their mind about AI haters and is like, actually, they were onto something the way we are about Luddites?
We're still trying. That's what we're up to with the podcast, right? And a lot of our other public scholarship. There was an interesting moment last week when ChatGPT sort of glitched and was outputting nonsense. Yes. I mean, was it actually Spanglish or were people just calling it that because it had some Spanish in it?
It had some, it wasn't all, I mean, it was doing some Spanglish stuff, but the stuff is just even more inscrutable than usual. It was just completely nonsense. Yeah.
Yeah. And that, the sort of OpenAI statement about what went wrong basically described it for what it is. They had to like say something other than what they usually say. And then there was a whole thing with Google's image generator, which, you know, the baseline thing is super duper biased and like makes everybody look like white people. And there's this wonderful thread on Medium. And here I'm doing the thing where I can't think of a person's name, but it's a wonderful post on Medium where someone goes through this thread of pictures that I think were initially on Reddit, where someone asked one of these generators to create warriors from different cultures taking a selfie, and they're all doing the American selfie smile. Mm. And so there's this really uncanny valley thing going on there where these people from all these different cultures are posing the way Americans pose.
Right.
So huge bias in these things underlyingly. Google has some kind of a patch that basically whatever prompt you put in, they add some additional prompting to make the people look diverse. And then last week or so, someone figured out that if you asked it to show you a painting of Nazi soldiers, they're not all white because of this patch in there, right?
Right, right.
So
make it diverse.
Right. Yeah. So Google's backpedaling of that, I think, was ridiculous. There was some statement in there about how they certainly don't intend for their system to put out historically inaccurate images.
Right.
I'm like, what the hell? It's right. a fake image.
Right.
It's not like there's no accuracy right. there no matter what. Right.
Right.
But
right.
these mishaps maybe sort of pulled back the curtain for a broader group of people. There's some true believers out there who are not right. going to be reached.
Sure.
But yeah. I think it may have helped for some slice of society.
Yeah. I know some people who are like, how do we know that Reinhard Heydrich didn't have dreadlocks? I'm like, I think it's pretty clear.
Gosh, yeah.
Wow. But okay. Sure. Go off.
Yeah. And I mean, I think this is such an interesting question, right? Is like, when is the AI bubble going to pop, right? And I mean, in some ways, it feels like, you know, we're as much as we can do, we're kind of prodding it, right? Mm-hmm. You know, and yeah. saying, you know, and one thing that I offhandedly said one time and Emily loves is ridicule as praxis. So, you know, one thing, you know, and I will, in a turn, one of Emily's great quotes is, you know, now I'm going to mess it up right now. It's the refuse to be impressed.
Resist the urge to be impressed.
It's much better when she says it. And it's kind of the idea of like, some of it is a bit of the sheen, right? But it feels like at some point, you know, if in the kind of operations of these things, you know, there'll be enough buy-in, especially with automation, that's hard to reverse a lot of the automation without just a huge fight. And so, I mean, I think something that helps are, you know, worker-led efforts, you know, and one of the most awesome things that we've seen, this is something a scholar, Blair Atair Frost, calls AI counter-governance. She calls, and one example she is the WGA strike. And how folks struck for 148 days. And after the strike, they not only got a bunch of new kinds of guarantees for minimum pay when it came to streaming and the residuals they get from it, they also, you know, have to basically be informed if any AI is being used in the writer's room.
Yeah.
They can't be forced to edit or re-edit or rewrite AI-generated content. Everything has to be basically above board. I mean, it isn't as far as it could have gone and banned it outright.
Right.
But if there's any use of it, it has to be disclosed and you can't bring in these tools to whole cloth replace a writer's room.
Yeah.
All right. That's going to do it for this week's weekly Zeitgeist. Please like and review the show if you like the show. It means the world to Miles. He needs your validation, folks. I hope you're having a great weekend, and I will talk to you Monday. Bye. A lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
With the new Dexcom G7, you can achieve better diabetes results without painful fingersticks. It sends your glucose numbers to your compatible phone or watch so you can always see where you are and where you're heading. See how food and exercise affects your glucose, making it easier to spend more time in range and lower your A1C. Take more control of your diabetes with the number one recommended CGM brand. It's easy to get started today at Dexcom.com. That's Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.